We're going to start with a nice word in Parshas Kisuvoi from the Koshet Samagid. The word is brought in by Moshe, the Koshet Samagid's son. He brings his word on the Pusik in the Toichel, Baboiker, Toima Meitin Erev, Iva Erev, Toima Meitin Boiker. You know, the Toichel looks like clueless, looks like not good things, but Tzadikim always touched either Bruches or Lemidim in the words of Hashem. So Koshet Samagid says that Boiker is Meramaz on Ahava. Love. Erev is Meramaz on Yire, fear. A person has to serve Hashem with Ahava and Yira. Most often, the people we love, we're not afraid of, and the people we're afraid of, we don't love. But when it comes to Hashem, when it comes to serving Hashem, we have to love and fear Hashem. That's what Ahava Hashem, Yira Hashem is about. See, when a person experiences an intense Ahava to Hashem, or a strong Ahava to the Eibishter, to a point of Klesa Nefesh, he feels like it's overwhelming, he's an explode from the Ahava that he feels to Hashem. What happens? Toima Meitin Erev. That's what somebody, I need some fear to ground that Ahava and to feel a little calmer and not pass out from grace Ahava Hashem. But when a person's experiencing a Be'erev, when a person's too afraid of Hashem, to a point where he's trembling in fear and he can't come to himself, Toima Meitin Boiker, that's where the Ahava comes and complements the Yira. Now, Yira and Ahava, in a typical relationship, obviously, like I said, it's a little contradictory most often, but Ahava is the feeling of Kirva, being close. Yira is usually being afraid and staying away from. It's that richuk. Now we know that in married life, the way the Eibishter set up the cycle of marriage, in married life, there is kirva and there's richuk. And the Gemara explains that Hashem wants that a woman should be chaviva b'ayne ba'ala kekalach anachnesas l'chippa. In order to keep that, to renew the spark of ahava in a relationship, there has to be sometimes that there's richuk and we're not close, so that when we're close again, we know how to do it right. So we do find the idea of Ahava and Yira, if that's what we'll call it, Kirv and Richik in a relationship. I think they're obviously both very important. Too much Ahava, you smother the other person. If you're too much on top of someone, or too much connected too often, and you don't let each other breathe. And being too far from each other, not connecting enough, is obviously also a problem. Very often, in a relationship where there's two people, each one with their own perspective, each one with their own set of feelings, or mindset, or whatever it is, one is most often looking for the Ahava and the connection, and the other one is the one looking for the space. Very often you see that. Someone's maybe running after or smothering the other person, asking for too much, and the other one's just looking to get away because it's too much to handle. Now, I think that both have a lot to learn, and the person who's running after the other person has to know how to calm down and give the space, and know that, as much as I want to be with you all the time, as much as I always want to know where you are, as much as I always want you to be near me and help me with everything, it's important for me to realize that, you might not appreciate that much connection, and that you might need some of your own individuality or some of your own privacy or some other relationships in your life that are also important to you. And the person who doesn't feel the need to connect and is wondering why the other person does have to realize that to complement that richik with some more kiriv and realize that, yes, relationship means that we're close and we're connected, and especially if the other person wants the connection, not to run away from it. I'm saying this both because of what I'm going to be talking about in a minute, but also because I hear this all the time. I hear people all the time describing situations where one spouse is running after the other one, and the other one is literally just running away. So, everyone's wondering, like, when are you going to stop? When are you going to stop running away? And when are you going to stop running after me? And what ends up happening is the one who's running after the other one only gets whatever they can grab onto, while the other one's always pulling away, and they almost never have the opportunity to actually give before they're even asked, and it gets complicated. And if each one would just adapt a little more to the other style, often they would be able to regulate things the way the Koshet Samagid is telling us to do it toward Hashem. Like I always say, a relationship with Hashem is only a mushal, is a mushal, or maybe the nimshal actually, to what marriage is looking to represent. In any case, let me read a letter and try to give some clarity. Hi, thanks so much for your lessons. I look forward to learning so much weekly. I have a question. I would appreciate it if you could answer it on your line. I am married to a wonderful husband, Baruch Hashem, for X amount of years. However, I feel like we each run our own program, living in one house. I'll explain. I'm naturally a very emotional person, and I need lots of love and recognition. My husband is logical, technical, and very much the next case type. He moves quickly from one thing to the next, never thinks how he feels about anything, and just moves on. He really doesn't get me or my need for connection. If I complain that we don't spend enough time together, he can answer, "What do you mean? I was home for 3 hours now." Those 3 hours included reading, listening to hotlines, and taking a nap. I know he's entitled to all that, but I don't consider that spending time together. He has a sharp tongue, but he's not intentionally mean. Overall, we live nicely together. We're civil and considerate of one another. I really feel like my husband does not necessarily need me in his life more than he'd need any other woman. He doesn't appreciate my personality and the benefits that come along. For example, the warmth that I give to him and the kids, etc. My husband also has a fantastic group of friends who love enjoying themselves, all on a very kosher level. They go swimming, barbecue, sledding, and just hanging around and schmoozing. So what happens is that once he comes home, he's had his enjoyment for the day and is not looking for more. Therefore, we almost never go out for a walk, etc., and we've never been on vacation. I also feel like marriage for him is not a commitment. He comes and goes whenever he feels like it, regardless of how it affects me. Even on special night, when he knows I'm waiting and specifically asked that I want an early night, he could walk in at a very late hour while I've been waiting for a few hours. I feel like I'm last on his list. If he still has time to squeeze me in, then he has time for me, and it hurts. We've spoken about it. He doesn't see anything lacking in the relationship and thinks this is how most marriages are. I've read through The Surrendered Wife plenty of times and practice it. I can confidently say that I'm overall not controlling. Still, if I ever mention that I want him to come home earlier, he says that he had his mother on his head enough years. Anyways, to sum it all up, I think in the secular world, we'd be called friends with benefits. I had a difficult childhood and I'm in therapy for X amount of years. I've been doing great work and I'm now equally needy to any other wife, based on my therapist. However, I don't even get the basics. My therapist wanted to talk to him about being there for me, but he refused. He also refuses to seek guidance, even when he sees there's an issue. Okay, I'm done rambling. Now my question is, should I accept that this is my husband and make peace with the fact that I'll never get connection? Or is there anything else I could do? Thanks for taking time to read this, and I hope you'll take the time to discuss it on the line. Okay. So, let me just start with the last line. Your question is if you should just make peace with something that's not good. So it's a very good question, because sometimes there are points that you have to make peace with, but in general situations, you don't have to make peace with. There are parts of a puzzle and parts of reality that you have to make peace with, but it doesn't mean that you have to remain unhappy. And most often, you know, there's almost always things you could do to make yourself happier and the situation better. I also want to add that when somebody asks a more specific question, whether it's pertaining to something specific or isolated, then it's easier to get an answer and just apply it. When something's more general and it's affecting a lot of parts of the relationship, then most often you should get guidance. So if anything's either a general issue or a long-term issue, then it's usually best to find someone to talk to who could, you know, guide you through the different parts of this, because most often it's not a one-line answer. I'll also say, just before I start trying to offer any advice, that very often you have husbands to wives that are feeling the same way. I've heard this situation both ways. I've heard this situation very, very often from husbands who tell me that their wife is always running after them and doesn't let me breathe. And you have husbands who complain that my wife never has time for me, and as much as I ask her for time and I want to go out or I want to spend time, she's always busy, she's always this, always that, and she never needs it. That's interesting. It could be that it's more common this way, that a woman is looking for the husband's attention and time, but I've definitely seen it the other way around as well. That's just something to preface, just in case anyone's thinking that. Now, the person who's avoiding the other person, let's put it that way, right? If this was the husband asking or listening, the answer would be, yeah, you have a lot to learn. You have a lot to learn. I think that goes into the category of Be'er of Yom Toimim Yitin Boiker. I think those who are avoiding a certain connection, whether it's because they're happily connected somewhere else and enjoy themselves already, or it's because they don't feel the need, it's important to realize there's another person here, and that marriage is more than just a friendship, by the way. But even just the fact that your wife wants more is reason to stop resisting so much and maybe be forthcoming, maybe in advance, maybe beat her to it, and you might get away with less, actually. But it's important to realize that just running away and not providing when somebody is waiting for you or hurt by the fact that you're resisting or just hungry and needy is something to think about. It's something to think about, and it's not about right and wrong. And that's just an important point. But that's not what I want to address. I do want to address the questioner and people who might be in a similar situation. So, at the risk of sounding critical, let me put it that way, and I don't mean to sound critical, I just want to point out different things that may be relevant to this writer or other people. One of the things that everyone has to think about whenever they're dealing with any situation that's not the way you want it to be, and even the ones that are the way you want it to be at least, it's always important to remember that you have a certain perspective and that you're subjective. Everyone sees their own situation in a certain light. Very often, you're aware of it. Very often, you're not aware of it. When I say aware of it, that doesn't mean that you're aware of the fact that you're fooling yourself. I mean that many people are aware of the fact, Mushal, this woman over here might be aware of the fact that if her husband would read this letter, he would disagree with certain things it says there. Now, I don't know. It might be that he would only disagree on the importance of spending time together, which that she knows. And it might be that we have a different perspective and say, no, it's not true. It's not only 3 hours. I wasn't just reading and listening to outlines. For a half hour, I was walking in circles waiting for my wife to talk to me. I have no idea. And I don't mean to imply that I assume that that's what's happening here. I'm saying that there's something about just realizing that whatever you say, and whatever you feel, whatever you think, whatever you see, is through your own lens, and that there's another perspective whenever you're talking about a relationship. There's another person here who might be seeing things differently. One example. Forget about the examples that you're giving about your husband, right? I don't know if he agrees with what you're seeing or describing about him. That's for sure. And maybe you could ask sometimes to discuss it and talk to hear, not to prove him wrong or to argue with him, just to hear what he's seeing. He might be seeing something else. But just another point. You say that, for example, you had a difficult childhood and you're in therapy for X amount of years and you're doing great work and you're equally needy to any wife, and you wrote that your therapist says so. Now, it could be it's true. It could be not. I've seen situations where this wasn't true. I've seen situations where either people assumed that they're not any more needy than anyone else. I've seen situations where people were told by a therapist that they did amazing work and now they're just fine. And really they weren't, but the therapist, that's what they wanted to hear. So it could be in this case it's 100% true. And again, I have no reason to think not. But I don't know. I don't know if your husband will say, if I were to talk to him, huh, you don't know what my wife needs, she had a difficult childhood. And that's why, you don't know, she's all over me. And she, it's never enough. And the times that I tried giving her enough, she just wasn't happy. So I say, I can't please her. Again, I don't mean to imply that I think this is the case. I'm just mentioning it because it's important for people to realize that when they're describing a situation, someone else or themselves, you have to know if that's really what is being seen. And just another point over here, for example, you say that you read The Surrendered Wife and you could confidently say that overall you're not controlling. And you just mentioned here and there that you want him to come home. Now, it could be true. Again, I hope I'm not giving the wrong message here. It could be it's 100% true. I've seen situations where people felt that they were implementing the idea of the surrendered wife, to surrender completely and not control anything at all, and they weren't. They weren't. At least that's not the way it was being noticed. So that's also just something to think about. So between these few things, it's important to just think. Would your husband agree to the picture you're painting? Does he feel that when he is there for you, that he's noticed or acknowledged? Does he feel that you really are surrendering? Are you really surrendering, or are you just surrendering hoping that your husband will come running after you, and he's not coming running after you, so it didn't work, so really you are controlling all over again? These are just things to think about. In general, the idea of surrendering, I just wrote it in a recent essay as well. For those who get my essays or want my essays, you can get a weekly essay by sending an email to parshalessons@laharer.org. parshalessons@laharer.org. I just spoke about the surrendered wife, where sometimes people, they're not surrendering. They stop controlling, and they're being mevater, and they're tolerating things that they don't want to be, hoping that it's going to work. And when it doesn't work, the book doesn't work, so to speak, they start all over again, and they're just more resentful now than they were before. So I don't even know if it's a great idea. I don't know if it's a great idea to just surrender completely, or at least try to do that. So with all that said, I just wanted to give some perspective. It's always good to think about it. Like, is what I'm seeing here what my husband is seeing, and am I seeing it correctly, and should I maybe question myself and all the assumptions and givens that I made over here in assessing and describing a situation? Next point that I want to mention is something I mentioned today in the Yiddish shiur as well, and I hope this doesn't come across discouraging or depressing. I wrote a book on personalities, and a lot of what you describe here I could probably find you in my book, figuring out exactly your personality and your husband's personality based on what you're describing. It's quite typical, actually. But just the idea of personalities, before understanding this specific situations, the idea of a personality is that people have a way that they are wired, a way that they feel, a way that they think, a way that they behave. It doesn't change. People make small changes, and people grow, and people are able to overcome certain challenges and limitations, but it's all within bounds. People don't change who they are. And it's fine. It's fine. Sometimes people get resentful about that. Like, yeah, but that's not who I wanted to marry. It doesn't work like that. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. You have to realize that you didn't marry yourself. Nobody marries themselves. Nobody marries themselves. Nobody marries someone just like them. There's always certain differences, certain adapting, certain adjustments. And that's what real life is about. I was talking to somebody who helps people with shulam bayis. Does a wonderful job with Hashem. Somebody asked him, Are you able to help anyone with their Shalom Bayis? He says, yeah. Everyone? You could help everyone? He says, I could help everyone bring their Shalom Bayis to the best place it could be. And the guy got all upset. What do you mean? You can't help everyone. There's no such thing as helping everyone. He said, no, you didn't hear what I said. I didn't say I could help everyone have 100% Shalom Bayis. I said I could help everyone get to the best place they could be, which means sometimes in certain relationships, based on different variables and different things that come to play, you might not have the 100% lovey-dovey coloring book Shalom Bayis. Now, some people say, yeah, but nobody has that. Okay, maybe not. Maybe yeah. Maybe there are people that have 99. Maybe there are people that only have 80 or 70. It's very deceiving because on the one hand, it's true that everyone has certain struggles in their life. Nobody's living the perfect life. There's no such thing. But it doesn't mean that everyone's struggling the same way. It doesn't mean everyone's struggling the same level. It doesn't mean that everyone has the same difficulties in their relationship. It doesn't mean that. There are people that have, let's call it a 95% lovey-dovey relationship. And there are people that, at their best, they get to 80, and it's wonderful. And if those people are struggling at 60, and they could be at 80, it's a shame. But if those people got to 80, and they're looking at the people who, wow, look at that, that's like something special, which you should never be looking at other people's marriages in general, sometimes it's just important to realize that, you know, different people have different ways of behaving and interacting and living life, and you can't always compare it. People are limited, so I don't know if it's discouraging or depressing, but it is reality. I think people get more discouraged and depressed when they have these false expectations of one day just having this certain relationship that you paint in your picture in your mind, and the person you're living with just doesn't have that. It's just not them. It might not happen. Yeah, but I see my sister has it. It could be your sister married somebody who's all smiles, and he was always like that from when he was 5 years old, and he's going to be like that in the old age home as well. And the person you married is just a little calmer and more relaxed, more subdued, and just not that. It's just important to realize that and accept it, because by definition, marriage means adapting, adjusting, being considerate, you know, just making place for another person and working along, and that's something that some people don't like to hear or do. So that's something important to acknowledge. So in this case, you know, the fact that you want maybe more of something, he wants less of something, in a certain way. Again, I'm not saying that that's mamash the case, because it seems like he does have a lot of need for social life and connecting and other things. I'm saying sometimes you have to acknowledge that we have different levels of desires and wants and styles, and then, you know, it might be okay, and it might stay that way on some level. Now, you do want to know if there's anything you could do? Yes, I still think there's things you could do. With all the acceptance of reality, I think there are things you could do, and I think that I would divide it into two parts, let's call it. One is to let's start with this one. To make your husband want to connect with you more, right? It's nice to tell him that you want. It's nice to complain. Well, it's not nice to complain, I should say. But it's much better if you can get him to want. His friends or whoever he's interacting with till late at night, they're not asking him to come have fun with them. They're fun to be with, it seems. Now, I'm not saying that you have to start competing with them or being the same kind of fun or whatever it is, but it is possible. And I'm only saying this not because of anything you're writing, but because of things I hear from men who talk to me. It's possible that coming home and spending time at home, nothing personal, is less pleasant. There are men that come home and the complaints start, or the whining, or the boredom, or other things, which is nobody's fault. And it could be the same thing man to woman, by the way. Whatever boring topics or whatever no topics or whatever kind of attitude comes along with it, and spending time with a spouse sometimes isn't so pleasant. Now, do you only spend time with a spouse who's very pleasant? No, you should be spending time with a spouse with every spouse. You only have one. But everyone should be spending time with their spouse regardless. But yeah, when it's pleasant, it's just more enjoyable. There are people who love going home after a day of work, and there are people who sit around the office looking for what to do because they don't like going home. There are people who can't wait till after the summer when the vacation's over and they're back happy at home together, and there are people who enjoy the vacation because it's just so much easier and lighter. So it's always something to think about, to be more pleasant and be more attractive and talk about or do things that your husband likes more and just make him want to be home more. So before complaining or saying anything about it, I think you can perhaps make him feel better at home and make him need you more by doing more things that he likes. Not that you have to, but sometimes just offering more and making him need you more and making him have more from you goes a long way. Along with appreciating time spent together. You know, sometimes it's a complaint and sometimes it's a, wow, thank you so much. That was amazing. I love being with you. And someone feels good. And even if they didn't dafka want to be there right at that time, for whatever reason, because they naturally didn't have that need right now, but feeling appreciated, who doesn't like that? So that's also something And yeah, of course, avoid even just sounding controlling, because you say that you're not controlling at all. And I believe that you might not be. But sometimes he might hear that you are, because he's hearing you say things that sound like he's somewhat controlled, or he feels controlled, or he feels like he's being asked or to do certain things that make him feel that he's being controlled or not being given a choice, etc., etc. So those are just ideas how to make someone feel more comfortable and want to be near you more often. I hope I didn't make you sound like a bad person, that you have to work hard to make someone want to be near you, but that's what it is sometimes. You know, it's the same thing with kids, for example. There's a competitive world. Our children see a lot of things and pick up a lot of things, and sometimes you want to make sure that at home and with the parents they feel the most comfortable, because if not, there's too much competition out there. Right? It's nice to say, what do you mean, but I'm the parent and this is the right thing to do, and this is Yiddishkeit, and this is that, and this. You just have to deal with reality. You're competing with a world out there that your child might be tempted to and attracted to. So you have to compete with that. So it's the same thing in relationships. On some level, you might want to compete with whatever it is that's pulling your spouse away from you, and just adapt to the reality of what it will take to have more time and connection together. There's another part over here, which sometimes the problem of the surrendered wife sometimes is that somebody surrenders and they stop complaining, they stop saying anything, and of course they're not being happy, they're just eating it inside and bottling up with resentment. And you could ask nicely. So if it's not controlling and you want to ask nicely and gently, assert yourself, I'd love spending time with you. If we can make time tonight or tomorrow or when it is, and we can be together, I'll be so appreciative. Only if it's not hard for you, you're gently being assertive about what's important to you, I think it's fine. Just stay away from complaining. Stay away from making it sound like it's a given, and this is how it should be, and that he's doing the wrong thing, and all those things that just chase people away. And so often, giving your message in a firm and confident tone, without anything challenging in it, nothing negative in it, goes a long way. Another thing you might want to try to do, just in case he feels that he's comparing you to his mother who was on his head for enough years, you could ask him, is there a better way that I say it? Is there something about how I'm saying it or when I'm saying it that makes you feel like I'm controlling when I don't mean to? Sometimes you get honest feedback from somebody and they'll just tell you how or when to say something if you're open to it, and it might just it might just help you out in your communication and getting what you want. So again, I hope nothing I said makes it sound like I'm making believe it's okay for a husband to not be present or not be around or not be connected. Husbands and wives both need to know that they have to have time for each other and spend time together and not be avoiding anything and not be running away. But if you're the one that feels that somebody's running away from you, these are certain points that I think you might want to connect. You might want to take into consideration. And like I said before, same thing with children. I'm just throwing it in again. If you have a child who you feel, especially as children get older, that they're avoiding you somewhat, instead of complaining to them and telling them how wrong it is, and making a whole federal case about how you're so connected with your friends and you don't tell your parents, I think you'll be better off trying to follow this kind of formula that we discussed. So just to sum it up, I did mention the part that whatever you describe, you have to just realize that you're being subjective and seeing it through your own lens, and it's good to question, not too much, but it's good to question just the perspective and the description that you see and that you describe. The second point was to have realistic expectations and know how much you or your husband will change and what to really hope for, instead of just either giving up or hoping that things will miraculously one day be very different. And then doing yours to make this better and geschmacke by knowing how to communicate your needs nicely and by making it more pleasant for somebody to be there for you. And I hope that, with Hashem's help, we'll all be able to balance the Ahava and the Yira, the Kirv and the Rechik, to be close and to know how to give space. The people that want to be too close have to learn how to give a little more space. The people who need too much space have to know how to be able to be close as well. And when Eibush Hilf live together, understand each other, and enjoy each other's presence, and live Bahava Achmashulam Arayas.